Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series Marriage Plus. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
Something that's so strong within my spirit is the power of the Word of God and how His Word is like seed. Seed that produces good fruit. And I want to speak in this session about this is the phrase that the Holy Spirit gave me, restoring one another. But it's really going to be about the power of the words that we speak to one another within the relationship. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6 to start with, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, and I believe that Paul using brethren there is using it in the sense of the sister and as well. It's brothers and sisters, it's not just two men. Even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. He has just said that all of the law, in the previous chapter, he says all of the law is summed up in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The law of Christ is the law of love. And he says the practical way in which we do it is bear one another's burdens. All right? He's saying if somebody is, as the King James Version says, overtaken in a fault. How many of you ever get overtaken in a fault? We all do. All right? Something just comes up in us. We do something wrong and we're just overwhelmed by it. And we're devastated sometimes and just cast down, depressed, discouraged, and so on. Well, now, I want us to look at what it says by looking at what it doesn't say. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are intellectual. See, sometimes what we give to somebody who is caught and overtaken in a fault is a whole bunch of intellectual correction. Well, now, you know, if you only used your reason about this, you wouldn't have got into the mess. I mean, if only you could think your way through. And so we start giving sort of intellectual. I mean, it's so easy for men to be like this. I mean, we can just, when our wives are overwhelmed with the hurt and with the need, we can sort of come in there and just very cold and very detached, give them a, you know, woman, pull yourself together. I was ministering by tape to my niece, my eldest sister's eldest daughter, who was having tremendous emotional problems. And she was in and out of mental institutions. And then after the Lord started doing healing in my life, I wrote a newsletter back to South Africa sharing the healing. And my niece got so encouraged that she wrote to me and said, I've been to all sorts of counselors. I've been in institutions for mental care and so on. And nothing has helped me. And when I read your letter, I thought, maybe you can help me. And so I sat down with a tape recorder and recorded a tape to her, just leading her through healing of inner hurts. And the Lord just did a wonderful work. He flat healed her. But one of the areas that she was healed in was this. She said, when anyone ever quotes the scripture to me relating to a problem I'm going through, she said, I get livid with anger inside. So I just get so mad at them when anyone intellectualizes about my emotional hurts. So the Lord showed her the root of it and what it was. When she was about 4 years of age, there was a thunderstorm and she was terrified. And so she went running to my sister to be comforted by her. And rather than just putting her in her arms and holding her and giving her the assurance of emotional support, she started quoting scriptures at her. And a root of resentment toward the Word of God was implanted in my niece, so that when people try to help her with the Word, she found a reaction, because what she needed was not some intellectual argument. She needed some arms. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, don't try and intellectually sort out the problem. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. Okay? So, intellectual is not there. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are perfect, restore such a one. That's the quickest way to bring about friction. I told you not to do it that way. You know, if you'd only listen to me. No. The Word says, you who are spiritual. What does it mean to be spiritual? We got wrong ideas about being spiritual. We think that being spiritual is perfect, being perfect. And so when we look for spiritual people, we look around and we look for the people who just have it all together. That's not what spiritual is. You know what spiritual is? People who are sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to receive from the Holy Spirit the particular ministry that that person needs just at that time. I'm going to tell you a story. That my eldest sister's eldest daughter, her father is a hard man. He's a Scotchman. I've never liked being around my brother-in-law, because he always wants to argue about theology. I mean, he's got some heavy opinions which he loves to talk about. And Bev never liked to visit there, because Jock and I would always get into theological hassle. I mean, we'd always. He just got some heavy opinions that just make you get mad. So here we go to South Africa, and I really didn't want to go and visit with my sister and her husband. But I knew that we had to go. And so we went up there, and we arrived there on a Saturday afternoon, went into their home, and, you know, just were very cordial, and everything was wonderful. And the next morning, I preached in a little church, and they came to the church. I preached, and just preached my heart about relationships. In fact, I preached the message that the Lord has told me to preach tomorrow morning about sonship. And God began to move on my brother-in-law. After the service, he came to me, and he just started confirming the Word. He went home and he had lunch. And my sister told us later that he started to write letters to get right with people that he had wronged. Roots of bitterness he was dealing with. And that afternoon, we had a family gathering at another of my sister's homes, and Jock was there. After we had had the time together on Saturday night, boy, the Lord just all of a sudden, the Spirit just released a love and a deep compassion for Jock within me. And in front of everybody, I just got up and went over to my brother-in-law, who I have never been able to be close to at all. And I just put my arms around him and I said, Jock, I want you to know that I love you. And the room fell dead silent. And he said, do you really mean that? And I said, yes, I do. And you could see he was embarrassed. I mean, he'd never had anyone do that. He grew up in coldness. And the next morning when I preached, the Spirit of God did that work in him. That afternoon we came together, and he left early to go off to the prayer meeting. And afterwards he said to his wife, we had stayed, and instead they didn't have a church service in this particular church that I preached in. So we just had a family time around the piano, singing and praising the Lord together. And Jock left to go to his church prayer meeting. And his wife said, oh, I wish, when they got together, Faith said to him, I wish that you could have been there. He says, well, nobody asked me to stay. He said, I would have loved to have stayed. And then the next morning, my sister called Bev and said, something's happened in our lives. She said, something miraculous has just happened. She said, we've changed. The Lord has just done something. Boy, the Holy Spirit just started to minister to me, because He began to show me the power of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, saying and doing the appropriate thing in the moment. You see, what I had done was I had always challenged my brother-in-law in arguing his theology. He didn't need that. He needed, above everything else, for somebody just to go to him and tell him that he's loved. And when I did that, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, God began to do something. And I'm so excited, because I know the fruit of that is going to be wonderful, both in his life and in the whole family. They had a son. They have a son who was unemployed. And this son has been the black sheep of the family. He drinks, he does drugs and all the rest of it. And Jock has been so anti him. And I received a check from him, from this unemployed son. You know, my other sister must have said, boy, it must have just about emptied, you know, all that he had. He gave sacrificially a large amount to me. And I thought, just the grace of God moving in that family. There is so much potential for healing and wholeness if Jock could only get well. And the Lord had just released me to go to him and love him. You who are spiritual. I don't know if I'm getting across what I'm sensing in my spirit. The Lord wants to bring us all to a place of spiritual sensitivity, so that instead of responding to one another's problems in the way we've been programmed to do, with intellectual arguments, we respond according to the Holy Spirit. And when we respond by the Holy Spirit, there will always be restoration. It doesn't say, ye that are spiritual, try to restore him. It says, it assumes that you will be able to restore him. The reason why we do not see restoration is because we don't come by the Holy Spirit. We come with all of our discipline, or we come with all of our intellectual arguments. We come with all of the stuff that we know. But the Bible says, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of gentleness. See, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And husbands, listen to me, what your wives need above everything else in restoring them to what they need to be, as you're ministering to them, according to what I said in the first session, it's going to be through gentleness. Wives, can I say the same thing about your husbands? They don't need you to preach another sermon at them. They definitely don't need you to preach at them. They also need that spirit of gentleness, that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, to do what is appropriate for the restoration. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it? And he told me to go to 1 Peter 3, and I want you to look at this. Verse 8. Whew, we missed submission, and we missed the husband's role. To sum up, he's just dealt with the wife and the husband. He says, to sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly. That's the word phileo. Bev spoke to you ladies about the five words for love, and the one was just brotherliness or friendliness, being a friend to one another. Be sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted. That's the word compassionate, splungizomai in the Greek. And humble in spirit. There's the humility that we spoke about, esteeming the other, regarding the other. Now listen to this, not returning evil for evil, or insult for insult, but, look at this, giving a blessing. Giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit what? A blessing. And now look at this. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who are evil. What does he say when he speaks about the righteous and the good? You know what he's talking about? Those who use their lips appropriately. And what are your lips to be used for? For blessing. Because that's what you are to inherit. How do you inherit the blessing? I want you to hear this. Here's your wife. She's an heir, Peter has said earlier, she's an heir together with you of eternal life. How do you cause her to inherit the blessing? Speak it on her. Speak it on her. Speak the blessing on her. I was in a church in Abilene last weekend, and I can't even remember the circumstances, but I was talking with a woman, and the Holy Spirit just released such a blessing. I just said to her, I said, I just want to bless you in the name of Jesus. And 2 days later, it was on the Friday night, on the Sunday morning, she came to me and she said, you just don't know what happened in my life when you spoke a blessing on me. She said something was just released in me. And she said, all of yesterday, I've just been conscious of God working in my spirit. She says, I've never believed it possible. But you just speaking a blessing. And I mean, I didn't specify any blessing. I just said, I want to bless you in the name of Jesus. And she said, something was released in me. And she said, my life has just been different as a result of you blessing me. Do you understand that there is a power in the words that I speak to either bring a curse or to bring a blessing? Amen. I can either tear down or I can restore and build up by the words that I speak. And the Word of God says the way I deal with evil, how do we normally do it in our marriage relationships? Confession time. I mean, if Bev, last night, we were in bed and talking, and Bev was just commenting on something that I had said that she didn't feel was wise, and she felt that in a couple of illustrations I gave too much detail, and something rose within me. Your husbands have never had this, I know. You know, and something rose within me, and I was about to defend myself. Boy, I could easily, boy, everything within me was what Peter says here. Returning evil for evil or insult for insult. I mean, there's something within you that wants to say, well, now let me tell you what's wrong with you. come on, be honest, men and wives. When you get corrected, you want to immediately insult for the insult that you feel. You want to expose the wrong in them for the wrong that you feel. And the way Peter says, instead, give a blessing. Woo! Woo! Oh, that's good! That's good! And I said to Bev last night, I said, Bev, I just receive it. I mean, that wasn't the way I felt initially. But I just knew that I was to receive it. And I said, I receive it. And the moment I said, I receive it, the release was there. That emotion that was building up, that wanted to, I mean, you know, I think you guys know what I'm talking about, that wanted to somehow defend myself. The moment I just said, I received that from you, immediately that emotion was good. Now, I should have gone over into giving a blessing and speaking a blessing. The Lord just spoke this so strongly in my spirit this morning. The power of the blessing, of blessing. And you can go through the scriptures and you can find it. You, for example, we saw last night the power of the curse. Noah, because of Ham's sin, Noah cursed Ham's son Canaan. And his offspring was cursed for generation upon generation upon generation. And finally, understand this, that the Canaanites were the nation that God destroyed out of the land of Israel when Israel came and possessed the promised land. It was the Canaanite people who had become a totally depraved and totally debauched people. And I want you to know something. Boy, I've discovered this, that the Hamitic curse comes upon people who will talk about sexual sin and perversion and so on. You cannot afford to do it. That's why Paul says, and I don't want to digress there, but the curse, the evil speaking, brings about so much harm. We cannot begin to understand it. And I know that Brother Philip has taught you about the curse, and you've heard teaching about the curse. But I want to emphasize this morning the blessing. Speaking well to one another. Let me just share an illustration in our relationship. And Bev so builds me up so much, and it's just wonderful. She encourages me. She's my best supporter when it comes to ministry. I mean, there are a lot of stuff that she could critique me on and find fault with, but she's such an encourager. But going back in our relationship, through the time that Bev was wrestling with the stuff that she shared with you girls yesterday afternoon, in the physical area of our relationship and so on, and Bev was so full of fear and so full of self-rejection and didn't like herself and didn't like her body and so on, every now and then the Lord just used to put this in my spirit to say to her, and I'd say, Bev, I want you to know something. I am totally committed to you. I mean, it would just come out of my spirit. I'd just say, Bev, I want you to know this. I am totally committed to you. And when the Lord finally was able to do healing and release in Bev, I remember her saying this to me. She says, you know, the thing that kept me and encouraged me through all that I was going through were those words and the understanding that you were totally committed to me. Man, I want to encourage you to just speak those words, because so many of our wives have an inner fear of what happens if I give myself and then he rejects me. What happens if I become vulnerable and I do begin to receive his love and somehow he betrays my confidence and my trust in him? And our wives need to be blessed with our commitment to them. As the Holy Spirit just stirs within your heart to speak those words of commitment. Whatever it is, those words of blessing, they are so important. And you perhaps at the time don't understand how important they are. But down the road you'll discover how important the blessing was as you blessed your wives with what the Holy Spirit was speaking in your spirit. We need to communicate the blessing. Instead of repaying evil for evil and insult for insult, he said, bless. Speak a blessing. We're going to go to lunch in a half an hour. And I believe the Lord wants us to speak blessings on one another. Now, I could give you a whole bunch of things to work on with regard to projecting for the future. In fact, that was my first intent. My first intent was to get you to sit down and talk to one another about your desires and your goals and so on. But I feel like the Lord wants it to be a time when we bless one another. When we tell one another what we appreciate in one another. Little things that maybe you've never expressed but you really appreciate in one another. Just appreciate about the personality, about the actions. Just little things that you've taken for granted and that you've never complimented one another on. You know what the problem is? And Brother Philip will tell you this in counseling. The problem is that a marriage goes bad when we focus in on the bad and we lose sight of the good when we quit complimenting the good. Peter Lord tells the story of what happened with his son. Peter Lord went up to Colorado Springs where his son is a preacher. And every morning, Peter Lord said, I was just overwhelmed with the beauty of Pikes Peak. And he said, I'd come out and he said, boy, I just would comment on the beauty of the mountains and so on. And he says, they were driving along, his son said to him, he says, you know, Dad, there are some people who live here in Colorado Springs who never notice the mountains. Never notice them. And then Peter Lord said to his son, he said, son, the way that you keep from becoming accustomed to the mountains is every time you see them, respond to them. Every time you see those mountains, say something about them, and you will never become familiar with them. Men, the reason why we take our wives for granted is that we've quit complimenting them and quit noticing and blessing them for the good that is in them. And if you don't do that, what you will begin to do is the enemy will make sure that what you focus in on are the faults. And you won't be in any position to restore them because you'll be so overwhelmed with the faults. And the way the way that we're going to keep our marriages and our relationships fresh and alive is responding to one another and speaking and blessing one another and thanking one another and complimenting one another and just blessing by our words one another. Well, I think it would be so wonderful if we could take some of the blessings of the scriptures and just speak them to one another. I love to do that when I'm ministering to people. Listen to what God said to Moses and to Aaron. He gave them a blessing to bless the people with. Listen to this. God said in this way, he said, you shall bless my people. And this is what he said. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Isn't that nice? The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Wouldn't you like to live in the shining presence of the face of God? Well, speak it on one another. Speak it on your wife. Oh, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you today. God said that's the way you do it. Speak it. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. Do you know what that means? It means literally in the Hebrew, turn his face toward you. May the Lord turn his face toward you. Imagine walking through the day with the confidence and the consciousness that God's face is turned toward me and he's looking. Why? He's watching over me. Now God said, speak that blessing on the people. Speak it! Your words have power because I have spoken the words. Now speak them on the people. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Now listen to what God says. In this way, you shall set my name upon my people and I will bless them. Isn't that something? God says, when you speak these words, you are setting my name upon my people, and I am going to bless them. Isn't that powerful? I think it is. I mean, don't you want to see your wife change? Bless her. Don't you want to see your husband change? Bless him. You restore him by speaking out of the fullness of the Spirit within you. And you know what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5? When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you will speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You'll sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. There will be words of praise and edification and glory toward God. Those are what are going to come out of your spirit. And in the parallel passage in Colossians 3:16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Listen to this. As you teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. You see, out of allowing the fullness of the Spirit to pervade my life, and with it His Word to saturate me, dwell in me richly, there is going to be the outflow of being able to encourage, to teach, instruct, restoration coming out in my words as I'm blessing, 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 blessing. Something needs to change around our homes, and that is, instead of the negative talk, we start to speak the blessing of the Lord on one another. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to come on us and take us to lunch and start to release in our spirits His blessing on one another. And start to just open up our eyes to see what God has deposited in one another, instead of seeing the problems with one another. And just let the Holy Spirit release within you then the blessing. And if you want to speak the blessing on one another of the word that I quoted to you, it's in Numbers chapter 7, I think it is. 6:22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke My name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." That's all the Lord wants me to say in this session. I know we're through early, but I just feel that's what the Lord wants me to say. I want us just to bow in prayer. Holy Spirit, You are the Spirit of truth, whom Jesus said would bear witness to the truth and would guide us into all truth. I thank You that we can trust You to be absolutely honest with us, Holy Spirit. And I just ask You to come and convict us of our negative words, of the curses that we speak on one another and have spoken over our marriage. Lord, I just sense that there are a lot of words and a lot of curses that You want to break, that we have spoken and by which we have cursed our marriages, our spouses, our children, ourselves. You want to break those curses so that we can begin to speak a blessing. Lord, we acknowledge that out of fear, many times, rather than receiving what the correction that we needed to receive, we've retaliated. We've returned evil for evil and insult for insult instead of speaking a blessing. I ask You, Holy Spirit, just to gently reveal to us those words that have been negative, that have been detrimental, that have cursed our relationship, that have forced our relationship into self-destructive patterns because of the judgments that we have spoken on our spouses. And Lord, as we repent before You, I ask for the cleansing of the precious blood of Jesus and for the fullness of Your Holy Spirit, that out of the fullness of the Spirit there might come those blessings of restoration, that we'll be able to speak that which will release the power of God on one another for change, that will release the blessing of God on our relationships. Now, let's just spend some time quietly before the Lord and let the Holy Spirit show You the words that You have spoken that You need to apologize for, the curses that You have spoken that the enemy is using just to bring destruction and devastation in your relationship. Can Can I tell you a couple of the most cursing words? The words never, always, you never do this, you always do this. They're not true, but we speak them so easily, and we curse the marriage. Lord, we want to repent of those words. They're a lie. Just show us every area where we have spoken a curse. Words that you want us to correct. Right now, I want you to just do this with me. Let's break the curse of those words that we have spoken and words that we have received. Let's just take back that ground that Satan has had in our marriages through the words that have been spoken in anger or in revenge, retaliation. Those words that have brought a curse instead of brought a blessing upon us. And I want you just to repeat this with me out loud against the enemy. We're going to just break the curse of those words. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of every word that I have spoken against my spouse. I break the curse of every word that I have received, consciously or unconsciously, that has negatively affected me. I break the effect of those words, and I close the door that I have opened to you in my life and in my marriage. I am God's child, born of His Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb. My spouse is God's gift to me. Our marriage is a gift from God. We are heirs together of eternal life. You have no part in our marriage. I resist you and rebuke you and command you to leave in the name of Jesus. All right, now I'm just going to enforce that. Satan, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come against you and every one of your works upon these couples, these marriages, the destruction that you have been causing as a result of the words that have been spoken, some of those words going right back to our childhood that were spoken over us by our parents, that we received, some of them unconsciously, into our spirits. I break the curse of those words over these, the people of God, and I rebuke every spirit of fear and rejection, and the fear of rejection, and the fear of trust, and the fear of commitment, the fear of giving, the fear of vulnerability and transparency, the fear of honesty. I rebuke every one of those things off these, the children of the living God, Satan. Jesus, the Son of God, was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Therefore, every work that you have used against these, the children of the living God, has been destroyed at the cross. And I speak the judgment of Calvary against your works. Right now, in Jesus' name, I tell you to leave. And now, Holy Spirit, we receive you. We receive you to come and fill us. Fill us with the word of truth. Fill us with the blessing that Peter says we are called in order to inherit a blessing. Oh, we want to inherit that blessing. We are heirs together of that blessing. They're heirs together of eternal life. And we want to speak the blessing of the Lord on one another. And oh, we want you to so edify us in our spirits and so teach us in our spirits and release in our spirits the words that you would speak, the words of blessing, the words of restoration, the words of healing, the words of comfort, the words that are sensitive instead of harsh, the words that are gentle and kind, the words that are compassionate. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us how to speak according to your words, according to the blessing of God. And I ask as we go from this place and we go to eat now, and we just speak blessing on one another. Oh Lord, that you'll just release the power of the Holy Spirit through those words, that there will come an edification in our spirits. There will come just a lifting of the burden. There will come just a lightening of the load of self-condemnation. Oh, there will just come a buoyancy in our spirits. There'll just come an uplifting, encouraging. And Lord, you're just going to do something special and miraculous through the blessing. I thank you for it, Lord. I bless you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the series Marriage Plus with John and Beverly Sheesby. If you would like more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com, or you may call us toll free at 1-800-225-0245. God bless you and thank you for listening.